Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And we have a wonderful Monday surprise for you. Jim Garrity is here today. He was supposed to be off till Wednesday, but inclement East Coast weather has a tendency to pretty much cancel everything in certain parts of the country, and this would be one of them. So, Jim, we're thrilled to have you today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, and good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual. We start with the good, and it's not often a Barack Obama quote is part of the good, but, you know, it's not how he would like it to be the good martini. This is the president last week talking to Chris Matthews on Hardball. The question is, what can we tell about your leadership style by the pretty lousy rollout from Obamacare? And here's part of what Obama had to say about where the blame really lies.
It actually has to do with what I referred to earlier, which is we have these big agencies, some of which are outdated, some of which are not designed properly.
And so then Sunday on Fox News Sunday, George Will had this great take.
The education of this president is a protracted and often amusing process, as it was this week, as he continues to alight upon the obvious with a sense of profound and original discovery. And he's alighting on what is obvious to governors. This is really why we should have governors more often than senators as president. The president is saying, trouble with big government is it's so darn big. And like a lot of other big organisms, dinosaurs spring to mind, it has a simple nervous system, it's sclerotic, it's governed by inertia, and it's hard to move. This from a man who's devoted his life to increasing the power of government as an instrument of the redistribution of income, because government is wiser than markets at that. It's, as I say, highly amusing.
So, Jim, it's great that conservatives are once again being reminded that big government's not the way to go, but the president even seems to be stumbling into that conclusion, although I'm sure he won't admit it.
And, of course, once a well-meaning, or perhaps not so well-meaning, liberal Democrat gets confronted with the consequences of big government, and in particular the federal bureaucracy, very rarely is there reaction or recognition of, oh, this is what conservatives have been complaining about all along. Gee, maybe they got a point. You know what? The heck with scrap some. Hey, I've been saying all these federal agencies that we don't need. Let's get rid of them. And the ones that are poorly designed, let's completely overhaul them. All right. Let's, you know, scrap it, draw, you know, get a white sheet of paper, design how we'd want these federal agencies to work, and, you know, fire everybody and rehire the ones who actually get good results. You know, for some reason, it never quite goes to that step. Hearing that initial comment from the president that the federal government has lots of big agencies and unnecessary agencies and bureaucratic and unresponsive agencies, I'm also reminded of his groundbreaking discovery from a few weeks ago, Greg, that one of the things that we are learning is that purchasing insurance is complicated. I'm glad Einstein is here to bring out these, you know, complicated theoretical discoveries to us. No kidding, Mr. President! You know, most of us know this already. It's a very common argument in circles of, you know, so is Obama dumb? And Obama's not dumb, per se, but there are a lot of things that he either doesn't know that much about, or he kind of glosses over. And we even saw this back during, remember that televised meeting with Paul Ryan and a couple of like 12 members of Congress?
Yes.
And they were going around, and he said, you know, Paul, that's a really good point, I'll get back to that in a second. And he never got back to Paul Ryan, because they're really, you know, because Paul Ryan had laid out all the problems with, you know, the budget and runaway spending and the deficit and all that kind of stuff. So Obama very rarely gets confronted with these sorts of things. So he ends up saying things like, oh, it turns out the shovel-ready jobs weren't so shovel-ready. Like, things that are obvious to us because we've looked at them, and we don't look at them with kind of the faith of the believer of the power of good big government. We see these things, and we're not so surprised when federal programs don't work the way they're supposed to, and they run past budget, and they don't meet their schedules, they don't meet their deadlines, and all these things. I think we may be a little surprised at the scale of the failure of Obamacare, but this is not quite as eye-opening experience for us as it is for him. It is good that the education of this president continues. The question is, what does he do with it? And my guess is that, like a lot of people, when confronted with their worldview being challenged so seriously and things not working out the way they're supposed to, he'll probably revert back to denial. And we will see, you know, the insistence that Obamacare really is succeeding, and that expecting it to live up to the as it was promised was always an unrealistic expectation that he himself had held.
On to martini number two now. And, of course, much of the last several weeks dealt with the president's failed promise of, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. He admitted that that wasn't true in certain cases. And then, of course, another part of that same plan was, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. And as we have chronicled here on a number of occasions, that's also not true. Same with hospitals. And Chris Matthews on Fox News Sunday brought that up with the always charming Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel. And after asking, isn't that true, here was the back and forth.
The president never said you were going to have unlimited choice of any doctor in the country you want to go to. Let me just finish.
Wait, no. He asked a question. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Did he not say that, sir?
He didn't say you can have unlimited choice.
It's a simple yes or no question. Did he say if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor?
Yes, but look, if you want to pay more for an insurance company that covers your doctor, you can do that. This is a matter of choice.
And then he went on to say that we never promised you that you wouldn't pay higher premiums, which I'm pretty sure they did, actually, Jim. So two bits of bad news here, as far as I can tell. Obviously, the American people were sold another bill of goods on this, as we have chronicled. Secondly, I still have no idea why the administration thinks Ezekiel Emanuel's an effective spokesman for this project.
There's some sort of joke in there about him being the gruff Emanuel brother, considering how his brother Rahm, we all know from being at the White House and mayor of Chicago, and I believe that the third Emanuel brother was the inspiration for the Ari character on Entourage.
Correct.
He's known as this fast-talking, really tough, sharp-elbowed agent out in Hollywood. So on the one hand, I salute the family for having three very accomplished sons. But, you know, effective spinning is not going to be Ezekiel Emanuel's strong point. I almost want to give him a little bit of a gold star for honesty in that, you know, obviously he's pointing out, he's acknowledging the president lied. But what he's saying, what the actual policy is. Look, it, just like everything else in America, if you got oodles of money, you can get through the changes and reforms of Obamacare just fine. Unfortunately, most Americans don't have oodles of money. And what's more, one of their big problems of you know, the healthcare system beforehand was that, well, it's expensive and insurance is expensive. And, you know, passing a law that says we have to buy something doesn't really help us. So I salute him for his inadvertent, brutal honesty about the administration's policies. I think his earlier thing about, you know, the goalpost shifting that preceded it, saying, well, look, the president never said you'd have your choice of any president. No, of course he never made, you know. So that's not what he's being accused of. Right? He hears what he wants to hear and tunes out everything else. And kudos to Chris Wallace for holding him accountable. That comment from Ezekiel Emanuel will probably be playing in a lot of attack ads over the coming year, Greg.
All right, on to martini number three now. And we bring back Melissa Harris-Perry of MSNBC. We had her a number of months ago when she was part of this MSNBC promo that declared that we need to get rid of this notion that children belong to their parents rather than society as a whole. Well, now she's decided that a certain word has always been aimed at denigrating America's first black president.
I want to talk today about a controversial word. It's a word that has been with us for years. And like it or not, it's indelibly printed in the pages of American history. A word that was originally intended as a derogatory term, meant to shame and divide and demean. The word was conceived of by a group of wealthy white men who needed a way to put themselves above and apart from a black man, to render him inferior and unequal, and to diminish his accomplishments.
Apparently, the word Obamacare, you were thinking it was a different word there, but
yes.
the word is Obamacare, and because people were opposed to it, apparently were entitled white racists. I remember using Hillary Care. Was that sexist? I don't know. I can't keep up anymore.
On the one hand, okay, an MSNBC host saying something silly and ridiculous and laughable, that in of itself doesn't really qualify as our crazy martini. I think what's really intriguing is how much Obamacare has become this word that Anthony Weiner says he was the one who invented it, or he was the first one to use it. We'll see, you know. In that case, technically, yes, it was a white man that began using the phrase. Not to deride President Obama, of course. Back in the early 90s, we called it Hillary Care. It was called Romney Care shortly after they passed that. So associating a massive healthcare reform to the person most associated with it isn't exactly some, you know, unforeseen, unprecedented, crazy idea. But then secondly, look, for quite a while, Democrats were embracing it. President Obama has used the phrase Obamacare. So they don't think it's derogatory, except when a Republican uses it, then ipso facto it is. And by the way, I think as time goes by and more people experience Obamacare, then yes, it does become derogatory, doesn't it, Greg?
Yeah.
It becomes a synonym for not so good. So anyway, I'm going to keep using the term Obamacare, even though ACA is a shorter term. Only when I need the letters on Twitter.
Unbelievable. Yeah, you know you're running low on material, but if this thing was a smashing success, they'd be all over how great it was and how his name will always go down with the great names in world history as a result of it. So
yeah.
Cuts both ways.
That was when MSNBC was in reruns yesterday, right, Greg? Because it seems like it's the same stuff over and over again. You tune in, you're like, oh, they're accusing Republicans of being mean-spirited and cruel. Okay, I saw this back in September. and August and July and June. You get the idea.
Oh, man. Jim, great to have you with us. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us. And join us again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.